You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
What's up? It's Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Oh, I'm sexy in spandex right now.
Yeah, happy Halloween to us. You're listening to this after the fact. We probably should have said something about that last week, but whatever.
It's all good.
Let's not live in the past.
Let's live in the future. It's episode 75.
Jesus Christ, I can't believe we're still doing this 75 episodes later.
It's true, man. Nobody's caught on to the fact that we're breaking all the rules. Or something like that.
I'm fine with that. Let's keep it that way. Anyway, my name's Ian, joined tonight by Kevin.
Yeah.
And Ryan the Beard.
Yo, yo.
Ryan the Beard is Leia.
Yep.
From Star Wars. Kevin is La Parca.
Yes.
And you said did you order that online? Did you get that?
No, actually, I got the mask from a Mexican bodega in Federal Way. And
sick.
Then I got the costume from Champion Party Supply, which actually just moved down a few blocks from my apartment. The one that's
really?
Was on Denny. Yeah, now it's like in a pretty big warehouse-ish thing.
Oh, well, I'm glad I didn't go there yesterday looking for a costume.
Yeah, they're making condos out of that space over in on
Denny.
Shocking! Yeah, so new location, but it's even bigger, and it was only $40. And I get to show off my sexy bod, or lack thereof.
That's the cool part, is that we're not at, like, we're not at a party, but we're kind of at a party.
We're making our own party, bro.
Like the title of the podcast, it's not gay, it's pro wrestling.
It's not gay, it's pro wrestling.
It's just three dudes in a room.
Exactly.
Partying.
It's the most antisocial social job there is, for we are only hanging out with like three dudes, and we're not really doing much. We're kind of just sitting around playing music, but we are being social in the sense that we're communicating with a lot of people.
Just the way I
they
like it.
They just can't communicate with us.
They can hear me, but I don't have to listen to them.
And we can hang up on you, motherfucker.
Exactly. So
we have the control.
Yeah, so what's been going on with you guys this week?
Ryan?
Let's see, the folks were in town, went to IKEA.
Oh, really?
Which is like a weird, is it a Swedish place?
It is a Swedish place.
Yeah, it's like a weird Swedish hell. It's like a Swedish version of The Labyrinth, except without David Bowie. It'd be like a weird version of David Bowie.
It's like a furniture zoo.
And I gotta say that the one guiding light in this strange Scandinavian hell was Kevin's mom.
Yeah, get this. So he goes up to one employee out of everyone in the store. He didn't know it was my mom. He goes up to her, and he's like, hey, can you help out with this? And she makes eye contact with him and goes, Ryan? And you were like,
whoa.
Apparently you were like,
you're a mind reader.
Yeah, because you didn't like recognize
yeah.
her at all. And she's like, hey, I'm Kevin's mom. And you're like, oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool. That was weird.
She gave me a huge hug. To my credit, I've only met your mom twice at the birthday dinners.
At dinner.
Yeah.
You were more focused on this pasta at that time, so.
Yes.
Yeah. So what'd you get at IKEA?
Let's see. I got some furniture.
Shelves?
Shelving. For the bathroom.
They got some savage shelves there.
I like IKEA. The only reason I don't like being in IKEA is that it reminds me that I'm going to have to go home and attempt 3 hours self-installation or whatever.
It's pretty weird. Those things have the most random directions.
God, I hate IKEA. I hate it. You can hire people to do it for you.
It's true, yeah.
I do that every time.
One thing you can do is you can go into the as-is, and if you have a truck, you can just order it and already pre-made, and the ones that are kind of like maybe dinged up a little bit, you can get for like 50% off, and they're already made, so just throw it in the back of your truck.
Throw it in your shitty dorm room.
Yeah.
Dude,
well, IKEA
sweet.
Furniture is not necessarily the kind of furniture that you should be moving from one house to another. It's so cheap.
It'll fall apart.
Yeah, it's cheap enough that you can move it into your place, and once you move out, be like, well, this.
I had an IKEA clothes drawer, a drawer. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But it was really tall and wide, and it fell apart after a year of just opening and closing the f***ing drawers.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, man. I'm hoping the shelves that I got will hold the toilet paper and towels that I
Maybe.
Expect them to. But so, yeah.
That was it? You went to IKEA?
They'll hold for 6 months
cool.
only.
Yeah, we did that. And, well, no, I did a few other things. I went to
you
Home
got some
Depot.
Meatballs.
Yeah, something like that.
Bed Bath & Beyond. Maybe
Jesus
make a
Christ,
big day
hey,
of it.
Ryan, tell us about your errands.
Yeah, well, this one was kind of cool. I ended up picking up a really cool tool case
Target
to hold on my mics in. And it was one of those really nice Husky tool lockers
yeah,
that you'd
totally.
Normally see in a garage for
Was
dirt
it
cheap.
All and padded and stuff?
No, but I'm just going to put the pull and pick padding in there,
yeah,
and
there
I can
go.
Put everything in there.
DIY.
Yep, stoked on it.
That's cool. Awesome.
Sick.
For me, this week was pretty sweet. I got to go to a really awesome show I was looking forward to. I'd never seen Windhand before, mm-hmm. and they blew me away. It was a sold-out show at Numo's with The Sword and Cadaver, who was really cool as well. Kind of a throwback, vintage, I don't know, rock and roll, classic metal-sounding band. But Windhand blew me away. I also came up on some of the sickest cassette tapes finds I've seen in a long time. Last week, we had Black Breath in the studio, and the bassist, Elijah. The bassist Elijah and I were talking because he works at Everyday Music on Capitol Hill. And as I may have mentioned in the past, I have a 2004 Hyundai Elantra that for some reason had a cassette player stock. I don't know why a 2004.
That was like the end of the era.
Exactly.
Stop doing that.
You know, it's got automatic windows, and you think it would have a CD player, but nope, cassette. Anyways, I'm cool with that. I have a lot of good cassettes, but this selection was f***ing crazy. He tipped me off on it, and I showed up, and they were not priced yet, so he gave me a mad discount. I got about 15 tapes for $40.
Damn.
And I looked at some of them on eBay. The winter tape that I found was like $100 for the cassette. So I got some Misfits Earth AD. I got Pantera, Great Southern Trendkill, King Diamond, Winter,
Entombed,
Poison Idea, Entombed, some real f***ing classics, Saint Vitus. some badass stuff.
Good find.
Real good find, and I was pumped. There was a lot of other stuff, too. If I had like a good $100, I would have bought it all, but fortunately, I do not. I just dropped what I could, but there was a lot of other shit in there that If you are around the Everyday Music area, then check that out.
It's on Capitol Hill, right?
Yep, on Capitol Hill. Another thing that I wanted to mention is rest in peace, Value Village, Capitol Hill.
Seriously.
That was very important for me, my time on the Hill, as I found many of things from...
And you made of many things disappear from that place.
Yes. Pantera shirts, Slayer shirts. I found a Death hoodie there one time. One time I found Ian a really old school Killswitch Engage shirt, a Children of Bodom hoodie.
A sweet old school Bad Religion hoodie.
Yeah, some real good classics. And that store, you know, it's just a sign that Capitol Hill is continuing to fall into a wasteland of yuppie gentrification, Amazon bullshit.
Yeah, just like, oh yeah, they're knocking down Champion for what?
For nothing.
Condos.
And then last night I went to a sick pro wrestling event for 3-2-1 Battle. I can't talk too much about it, for it is quite underground, but if you don't know, then you don't go.
There you go. You don't talk about Fight Club.
Exactly.
I've been watching the news a lot this week. Like, a lot of crazy shit's going on. Like, just yesterday, like a Russian plane crashed in Egypt and killed like 300 people that were on the plane. And we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, but there was another incident where a band brought pyrotechnics into a very small venue and lit the entire place on fire mm-hmm. and killed dozens of people. So that happened again this week. That was pretty gnarly to watch. I don't talk about this kind of stuff too often, but this week I had a pretty exciting find, kind of like Kevin's cassette tapes, but in a very more rare way, in that a friend of a friend was cleaning out a house that belonged to his father and came across some very old, very distinctly labeled weed seeds from the late 60s into the early 70s.
Old school weed seeds?
Weed seeds. So, like, classic Landrace strains that, like, created a lot of the weed that people smoke now. The famous strains. Like, you hear old-timers talk about, oh, I want some Acapulco gold or whatever. And so we found all these seeds, and we're going to see if after 40 or 50 years...
They'll work. Well, you know, that usually seeds end up lasting a really long time.
I think they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, there was a...
I'm pretty pumped on it.
There was a case, I can't remember where it was found, but it was a dig, an archaeological dig, and this there used to be this fig tree that was very prevalent, you know, back in the biblical times.
Right.
That got entirely eradicated and wiped out, and they ended up finding a bunch of seeds for it in this old pot.
Right.
So they
figured, thousands of years later.
Yeah. Right. So they figured, screw it, we'll just plant one, see what happens. What'll happen? Lo and behold, thing grew. So
Ooh,
now they're busy resurrecting this
fig
tree.
Ancient trees on its way back. So
very cool.
I'm pretty excited, man. It's kind of like weed nerd archaeology.
Yeah. There you go.
Somebody told me, they were like, dude, you're like the Indiana Jones of weed. I was like,
that's awesome.
That's the best thing I've heard all year.
Hey, man. I got my whip.
Let me get that golden idol.
No, my hat.
Oh, well.
Dude, that's awesome. You're digging up the past, and you're going to get Back to the Future High.
The thing is that back in the day, when people were growing weed, it, like, they were using fucking black gold dirt and hose water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, things have come a long way in the last 40 years in terms of technology, obviously, and things that people have learned and are capable of. So if I hand that over to somebody who's capable of doing it, that it will literally be the first time that it's ever been grown like that. So yeah. It will be the first time anybody's ever seen it like that on Earth, ever.
Seeing what that weed can be to its full potential.
It's like opening up a tomb, like an ancient tomb, and being like the first person to go inside it, you know?
You're the first person to go inside and
get
awake in the mummy.
You're the first one to go
smoke
and
it out.
Hotbox that tomb, motherfucker.
I just think it's cool, man. Like, I think stuff like that is cool. I love just finding old stuff in general. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom and her friend of hers when I was a kid, they used to run an antique store. Mm-hmm. So, as you know, because as I was a kid, after school and stuff like that, I would be dragged along to all of these old, like, thrift stores and estate sales and stuff like that. And I've always loved it. I found, like, some old Ted Williams baseball cards. Like, I love finding cool old shit like that, so.
Well, here's the deal. So there's all these pot shops that have come around, right? You
exactly.
can open up the first ever antique pot shop.
Exactly. So it's cool. It's just cool to see. And
dust it off.
I'm just very excited because I know I'm going to have one of those moments where it's like, I'm the first one who's ever seen this before. And I just think that's fucking cool. And if you
Hell
think
yeah,
that's stupid,
is.
I don't care, but I think it's awesome.
You can suck it if you think it's uncool.
Suck it. You're like, God, fucking weedos.
Weed skis.
All right. Let's talk about some things that matter in the world of metal. Last week, we talked about how we had Ghost in studio in the KISW building here doing a private acoustic performance. Etc. etc. And this week they went on to do. Actually, last night they did the Colbert Report. Or I guess it's not even the Colbert Report. It's the Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And which have you, any of you guys watched that since he took it over? Because I haven't.
I haven't either.
It's awesome.
Is it?
Is it good?
It's very very good, man.
Actually, you know what? I have seen it a couple times, and what struck me is I was like, this is just like the Colbert Report. It's the same format where he's like on the side, and then there's the little screen next to him that pops up, and little pictures come up that he talks about.
But he's just being himself, though, right? He's not doing
right.
The
it's not like that super over-the-top
Republican.
You know, Republicans, yeah, making fun of himself, Republican
style. Yeah.
So let's hear a little piece of this.
Cool.
Ghost on the Stephen Colbert Show.
We've been getting ghosty lately.
They're smart, man. They just kind of do everything. Every opportunity that pops up, they take it.
Performing the song Cerise from the album Meliora, Ghost.
Yeah.
I want to hear you guys' opinion, because I hear this a lot. Ghost, metal band, or not metal band?
Ooh.
I mean, listen to that riff.
Gateway band.
That sounds like Mastodon-ish.
Sounds throwback metal to me.
Yeah, sounds like they're throwback. They're not. They're old school metal. Like, it's well, the way that I usually approach this conversation is the definition of the term has changed over the years. Like, the sound of metal has changed. They sound like the old school definition of metal. Like, if this band were around 20, 30 years ago, they'd be heavy as shit.
Yeah.
People would be terrified of this band.
Right. Because, so, I mean, the imagery in and of itself would have been terrifying 30 years ago or whatever.
Exactly. So, yeah. Old school metal band. Oh, wow. Is that, like, zombies and stuff they have walking through the audience? What's...
Oh, is that what that is? Mm-hmm. I think they're a metal band. I think they're just a band that does creative things, and they kind of push boundaries a little bit, and it makes people that are like true metal guys like uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you know, going on a solo acoustic tour, which, you know, like you said a long time ago, would have been totally normal and like,
yeah,
you know, totally cool. Anyway,
Well, I think it's you know, it's definitely a little bit different than what a lot of the true metal guys would be listening to, but you got to keep in mind you always have to have those gateway bands. You know, the
tons of kids are like young kids are into that. Like people bringing older metal guys bringing their kids to shows.
You got to have the bands that the kids who can get into or people that haven't experienced metal yet can get into before they kind of work their way up to some heavier stuff. It's, I mean, your brain can't even process it. If first time I heard Hate Eternal when I was a young kid, it
just, you're just like, ones and zeros.
Yeah, white noise, man. It's, you know, it takes a little bit of music listening to really get it.
Yeah,
and really
you can't always just dive
about.
Into Napalm Death. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Kevin? What do you think?
I say they're metal in the sense that, like, I mean, newer Mastodon is still metal. I don't know. It's hard rock. I don't know if it's metal, but it sounds like old school metal to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's metal.
I mean, they don't really claim it.
Yeah.
Claim it's, be a
it's I don't know, cult rock.
Somebody called them the cheap Blue Oyster Cult ripoff band. That's like one of the harshest criticisms
that's pretty
I've
harsh,
seen of
yeah. Ian,
yep.
I have some news for you that's not metal related, but I don't know if you've noticed this lately, but all Washington Chipotle restaurants are closed.
You know what, man?
E. coli investigation.
I had a really weird thing about that yesterday because I've been using Postmates, the food delivery app, because I work from home and I've been working a lot.
Yeah.
So it's super convenient to just order it and then have it show up at like 3 or 4 o'clock, and they just walk up to the door and hand it to you and say, "Have a good day."
Yeah.
And that's it. That's literally all you have to do. So it's super easy, and I tried it last night. I tried to get a burrito last night delivered to my house.
From Chipotle.
And the guy gets into the Chipotle. He's in fucking line to get the burrito for me, and they close it as he walks up. They closed, like, somebody came in and they were like, "Yo, close the restaurant." And they closed the restaurant.
That's
like,
fucked up.
I could have got that coli burrito.
It's a good thing you didn't get. So did you have to pay then?
No. Somebody called me and they were like, "Hey, they just closed it." And I was like, "They closed at 8 on a Friday?"
He's like,
and
no.
And they were just like, "We don't know." I just assumed that they were having, like, one of those company Halloween parties, which they do from time to time. You know, I've had several. When I lived on the hill, I would show up at, like, 8 and they were, like, closed an hour early. And they're all in there, like, drinking and partying and shit, which I thought was funny and kind of cool. But, yeah, and so I ordered one. I tried again today. Because I was, like, feeling that Chipotle burrito because the fucking seed was planted in my mind, you know? And I tried again, and the same deal. The guy shows up, and there's a sign on the door that says, "Sorry, we're closed because of supply chain issues."
Because of the coli!
Yeah. So he called me again, and they were like,
"Yo, dude, stop calling us.
Sorry, I can't do that." And then I fucking had them order me a pizza to bring to my house.
And that had E. coli all over it.
And I feel like No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. Washington State closes down all restaurants due to E. coli.
No, I just want to say Postmates because I ordered a pizza again from them. You can see on the timer when, like, the restaurant says, "Yo, your food's ready." Mm-hmm. And then they sent the guy from across town, so it took him 45 minutes to even get my fucking food.
What a biggity
after
bitch.
After the other two times it had already been canceled. And I was just like, "Yo, you guys are fucking stupid. I'm never using your again. I'll just get in my car and take care of it my fucking self." Oof. Like a grown-ass man, like I should have been in the first place. I guess it's a blessing in disguise, because I would literally never leave the house.
Postmates, how much does it add to the order?
Depends on how far away the restaurant is.
Yeah.
So I could get something from Honey Hole on Capitol Hill and have them bring it to my house, but the delivery charge is like $20.
Yeah.
To get a burrito from Chipotle a couple miles away is like $6.99.
Okay.
So it's not too bad.
It almost doubles the order, but...
But you can just get a burrito and a bowl and just eat it the next day.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I ended up ordering Roxy's. Cost me $3 to have them bring it to my house.
And that's
not bad at all.
That's the thing that pissed me off. The pizza place was literally around the fucking corner from my house.
You don't have to tip those f***ers, right?
Yeah,
I'm just
you do.
Kidding.
Well, not this time. F*** that. Anyway. First world problems. So, yeah, I know Chipotle is closed.
I went to Jimmy Mac's Roadhouse by Walmart today in Renton, and I walked around Walmart and people watched for a good 15 minutes.
Oh, God. Why did you do that?
Because it's funny. Because Renton Walmart is the worst of the worst.
Dude, Auburn Walmart's pretty bad, too.
Oh, man. Renton is so much worse, man. Dumpster people. True to life garbage pail kids.
Did you see that the Hard Times post or something? Like one of those joke websites that they said, Crass was releasing their new record, their distro is going straight to the dumpsters to reach their to reach their target audience.
Perfect.
Made me think of that.
Awesome.
All right, non-first world problems. 27 people at least are dead after a club fire in Bucharest, Romania.
Jesus.
During a band called Goodbye to Gravity. This is apparently a band that was made up of members of a band called Thunderbolt that had opened up for like Priest and Manowar and stuff throughout the decades, and they had just started this new band. What happened is the same thing that happened on the East Coast when that band Great White had basically illegal, unapproved pyrotechnics in a small venue, and before they know it, within 30 seconds, the entire stage and roof were on fire.
Yeah.
There was 400-something people in there. 200-something people are injured. Two of the guys that died were both guitar players in the band on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
The drummer's in the hospital and the singer's in the hospital. So you'd think now that after a couple of the dudes in Great White died and a couple of the guys in this band died, that bands would go, hey, maybe we shouldn't light the fireworks off because the people that are going to die are us.
Yep. In this day and age, too, things have gotten so out of control with light shows. You can do so many awesome things with lasers and LED boards and things like that. You can have a really, really bitchin' light show.
Yeah, this isn't 1979.
Without the fireworks and without the actual fire. One of the coolest light shows I've seen to date was that Animals as Leaders Devin Townsend tour. And for Animals as Leaders, all they had for their light show, two giant LED boards with videos going on the LED boards, just backlit the band. It was sick. It was awesome. And those LED boards, you can do that DIY for super, super effing cheap. It's not hard to do.
I'm looking at the pictures, and this place looks about the same size as a building like Numo's.
Damn.
400-something people in there, and 27 people died.
I saw some pictures of the injured, and I've been cringing all day. It's
like, there's pictures of the incident where it's the band playing, and the stuff's on fire behind them, and you can see that they're, like, just starting to notice.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's literally a nightmare, because what, there's like two exits to get out of there and all 400 people are trying to get out, and within 30 seconds, if you're standing by the front of the stage, so like the people who died are probably the biggest fans of the band, which is the other thing. So anyway, just put your thoughts out to it, and like if you see some weird like that going on, like get the out of there, man, because it's not worth it.
Not worth it. That's crazy, man. Rest in peace. Rob Duke says that Exodus bandmates are f***ing douchebags. I was listening to an interview.
He's not pulling any punches there.
I was listening to an interview with, dude, what's the guitar player from Exodus? Gary Holt from the f***ing brain fart right there. He was on the Josta podcast, and he was talking about how much he loves Rob Dukes, and he loved that era of Exodus. He said that they're still friends, all that stuff. Well, apparently, it's not both sides of the thing, because Steve Zetro-Souza is back in Exodus, and Rob Dukes got kicked out or left the band or whatever. He says after a year and a half, those douchebags, I never have to talk to them again or their managers, and that's such a good thing. It's like I cut a cancer out of my life.
I was reading the interview that he did because I was like, damn, this is some drama. He's talking some because he is. And he went on to explain that nobody told him anything. All of a sudden, one day, he got a call from the drummer, and they were like, yeah, we're going to move on with and Souza.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what? And they were like, yeah, sorry, dude. See ya. And he said the conversation took less than 30 seconds. And he just hung up the phone and was like, okay, well, what the f***, you know? So it's the kind of thing where they all, like, gathered together and were like, hey, let's get rid of this guy. So I feel bad for him, but, you know, it's not, you know, it's always a two-way street, dude. And in a band, it's a five-way street or whatever, four-way, yeah. Five-way, six-way street. Plus your manager on your f***ing road crew, everybody's got a say in something, you know?
No, it's not a five-way street. It's an intersection, a five-way intersection with everybody trying to...
Right. Everybody trying to go a different way. So,
damn.
Yeah, he's got another band, but they're definitely not getting back together now, I'll tell you that much.
He should start a new band called The F***ing Douchebags. That would be awesome.
That would be cool. Prong's coming back. They're doing a 2.5-month tour.
Nice,
they're
going
to be in Seattle on May 28th at El Corazon.
I hope they cover Bad Brains from that new covers record. I would mosh.
It doesn't say who else they're going with, but they do have a new record out, like their own new studio record coming out on January 29th.
Cool. Prong is killer, man. They were badass a couple years back when we saw them at Bumbershoot.
Yeah, that was the last really cool. year of that, wasn't it?
Yep. That was the last year
that they did
the metal showcase, because I Hate God was like, "F*** Starbucks, f*** Bumbershoot, f*** this corporate bullshit. Give me some f***ing vodka. I want to do some heroin, god damn it." Where I'm going to hump Kevin on stage. It was awkward and hilarious, and they just didn't give a f***. After The Burial has released a new single called Lost in Static. This is obviously after the death of guitarist Justin Lowe that we reported on several weeks back. Lost in Static is going to be their new single that they're going to be touring on. They're going to be playing Seattle at El Corazon on December 5th. Also,
With the Faceless.
Yeah, with the Faceless. It's going to be a good show. So December after The Burial, Lost in the Static, can we hear a few songs, a few seconds of it?
Yeah, do they got one of these little intro-y, flowery f***ing things?
I like flowery things.
I'm surprised they're touring in the middle of winter. More power to them. Kind of like Middle Eastern. Did we find out Justin Lowe wasn't in the band? He wasn't in the band for a while, right? Before he died, or was he in the band?
He was one of the main song. I think he was one of the main songwriters. Yeah. He was like the guy.
Do we find out if they got another guy, or is it just?
No, I don't remember anything about it. Huh. Maybe this is
it's something they already had.
Yeah.
Which makes it even weirder to listen to.
I'm just waiting for some guitar work, you know.
Yeah, it's like just kind of riffy.
They're just kind of doing the same thing. Can we skip ahead a little bit, see if they get shreddy at all?
I don't think so, man.
Is that's it? Jesus Christ.
It's just the same riff the whole time.
Man.
All right, well.
Bummer.
Find out what happens with that.
Dude, that is one of the few bands of that subgenre that I will defend tooth and nail. At least those first two albums that they put out were so effing good. Rare Form is a killer, killer disc, and I keep waiting for them to kind of get the heavy back. The guys in that band were such, or were both killer, killer guitar players, man.
Jill Janis had kind of a weird social media breakdown. This is the kind of shit that happens in 2015 because we have the internet. If we didn't have this internet, like her little brief freak out, nobody would have known about it. She'd have been able to take care of it, and nobody would have ever even known. But now there's like this weird thing going on. So she jumped online this week and was basically like, "Hey, I've got mental health problems. I've got health problems. I can't do Huntress anymore, and we're breaking up." The next day, within the same day, the guitar player gets on and is like, "Nah, no, we're not." So clearly there's some kind of miscommunication going on right there. So I don't know. Apparently she got it together. They like put their heads together or something. She jumped back on the internet with an issuing an update saying, "Back to business. Yes, I am still the singer for Huntress. I've seen some heavy shit, but so often the things I say or do are misconstrued even by those closest to me. It's an end of an era for Huntress. We completed our trilogy, writing one album a year. I look forward to writing more Huntress records and working on new musical projects I've been developing. The best is yet to come. I've seen some heavy shit, but so often the things I say or do are misconstrued." When you say, "I'm breaking up my band," literally, there's no room for misconstrued.
That's not a...
I mean, I don't really care because I think that band fucking sucks. I just think... I just think it's a comment on the way the world works now. And obviously, I hope that she gets what she needs. And that they, you know, I don't have a problem with them being a band or whatever, but...
Their guitarist is a nice guy.
Just get it together, man. Like, you don't need to put everything out there on the table for the whole fucking world to see all the time. That's, I guess that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I can say, all I'm gonna say is I've seen that band a lot of times and never was I seeing them on purpose. They've toured a lot of times. They're a band of musicians. I believe they have 5 members. They have songs that range from 3 to 5 minutes. And they've released 3 albums.
Cool. Kind of like another band, Xdeo, who we reported on last year when they were, or earlier even this year, when they said that they were not going to be a band anymore. And we were all just like, yeah, now we don't have to see your f***ing opening sets anymore.
Welp.
And your stupid Roman armor.
They obviously didn't hear the podcast. Because they're back! back. Guess who's back?
And look at that new armor, man.
The thing is, I love the dude from Cataclysm's the singer for this band, and I love Cataclysm. I like what they do. I just think Xdeo is super f***ing corny, and they just have been swinging and missing. So I'm going to take, I'm going to have to take another listen to this new record, I guess. And just see what happens.
I feel like they're one of those metal bands that they're swinging, like really trying to throw some punches, and the entire metal community just has their hand on the forehead, just like holding them back while they're just flailing in the air.
Yep. So still digging deep into the historic roots of Rome while honoring its heroes. Like, what? Canadian. I don't... I get, maybe he's got Italian background.
If this was an
Roman
Italian
Canadian,
band, if this was an Italian French band, Canadian. This would be kind of cool. I'd give it a little more cred. But then again, Niall's awesome in there.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So
the music's got to back it up, I guess. And some people are like, "F you, man! I love that band." Well, good for you.
More power to you.
So, and you're probably stoked right now, but I'm not. So what? Whatever. There is a band that I love to put on when I'm having some chill time with a lady friend. And the band is called God is an Astronaut.
Sex metal.
And they just signed with Napalm Records. So I'm stoked. No, that band's just really good.
God is an Astronaut and chill?
Exactly. Smoke some weed, put on some God is an Astronaut. It's for when you, like, everyone knows it's about to go down. That's just good music to put on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either that or like Genuine.
Yes. Sade.
Everybody's got their pre-coital ritual.
Mine's Pig Destroyer.
Kevin's is putting
Prowler
on his spandex suit.
Touching myself and putting on Pig Destroyer, Prowler in the Yard, or 38 counts of battery.
He did just cut the fingers off of his glove.
Yo, baby, you want to f*** with some grindcore? Literally? Do you f*** grindcore? I put on some David Allen Go.
Gotcha. Them Southern girls love it. We're going to hell.
Was there ever any question of that?
No, I just like my weekly affirmation. It's like going to church. Ghost Ship Octavius is finally playing as a live band with a full lineup. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm just touching myself, guys. Don't worry.
I can't see you.
Kevin is
all
sitting there.
All I can do is hear you.
Let me paint this mental image.
No,
Kevin is
I don't
sitting there
know.
In a skeleton spandex suit, just
going to town.
Getting down with his good
He's
self.
He's just totally, it puts the lotion on the skin.
It's just my tits.
Dude, stop f***ing fondling yourself.
It feels good, man.
I'm trying to talk about our friend's band, dude.
All right.
Ghost Ship Octavius going on a little mini tour of the world. They're playing December 4th at Seattle Studio 7.
That'll be a good show.
So, I think it's... Who's playing drums in that band?
Dude from Nevermore. God,
oh,
Van.
Yeah, Van.
Van, yeah.
So it's Van, Matt
Sorry,
Wicklund.
Sorry, Van.
All the way in New York.
19-year-old kid. Dagnus playing bass. And I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So they're going to be playing live. Go see it. I think it's going
to
be rad.
That band is savage.
I want Kevin to take this next one.
Savage.
Give me some whiskey.
Oh, fuck yeah. Okay, so this was actually pretty cool. So WWE has this developmental league, which is actually really awesome. Since WWE's been kind of lame lately, they have this thing called NXT, which is like they have the developmental stars and also wrestlers from independent leagues. They sign it. It's called NXT. It's available on the WWE Network. It's kind of like the hype thing. I'd say it's like the quote-unquote punk rock or indie version of WWE where it's actually fun to watch. And they are touring a lot, and this past weekend they went to Aftershock Festival, which is a big festival that bands like Slipknot, Deftones, Faith No More, a ton of other bands were playing. Our friend Pete went down there, said it was f***ing awesome. Glassjaw also played there.
Oh, that's where it was?
Yeah.
Oh.
And NXT did a little showcase. They had set up a stage, or they set up a ring, and they had a full-on, like, they filmed NXT matches, and Corey Taylor from Slipknot was in the front row, and this f***ing douchebag, Baron Corbin, who totally thinks he's the he's a total poser, and he went in the front row and was talking to Corey Taylor.
He put his finger game in the finger poke in the chest.
Yeah.
Which is instant fighting material.
And, yeah, so he started pointing in Corey Taylor's chest, doing finger poke, and Corey Taylor just slapped him. Obviously, it was a worked punch. This is all kind of, you know, pro wrestling. Fakish, but it was fun.
Yeah, Corey Taylor's like, hey, I'm going to sit in the front. Let me do something.
Yeah, it was rad. It was fun to see Corey Taylor do something. Hopefully, that makes it to TV. Yeah, obviously Corey Taylor's a good sport, kind of a ham, always having a good time. So.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
See, I'm trying to lip read what he's saying to Corey Taylor before he hits him. I think what he's saying
he says,
is
you're balding, bro.
I think he was saying, dude, metal isn't even real.
Looks like this guy's on his way to a skullet too, though. So it's
no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. That's what Corey Taylor was saying to that guy. He's like, Baron, you're balding.
Anthrax has announced the title of their new record is going to be called For All Kings, and they've announced that it's going to be coming out next March, which isn't even really that far away. So it's going to be coming out on Megaforce Records in America, Nuclear Blast in Europe. Yeah, so that's pretty much all. I'm sure there's going to be... They said they recorded 20 original songs, almost twice as many as they'd ever brought into the studio in the past. So maybe they kicked out the crap and kept the good stuff. I did like worship music. I thought there were some good songs on that record.
Yeah, man.
So we'll find out. New Anthrax.
Very cool.
If you've ever seen the show Portlandia, you know it's pretty funny. It's like a take on the hipster attraction that is Portland. It just makes fun of all Portland.
Dude, the dream of the 90s.
Yeah, and it's a pretty funny show. Fred Armisen from Saturday Night Live is in there, as well as Carrie Brownstein from Sleater-Kinney. Very, very funny show. I would recommend checking it out if you have not. It's on IFC. And they just filmed an episode with Glenn Danzig, who was in town. And in an interview with RollingStone.com, Carrie Brownstein said that he was great. They've had a lot of guest stars, but he's never seen something greater than we had with him on set as far as the enthusiasm that people were, the collective enthusiasm. She said he's very smart and very Jersey, and he can make fun of himself, which is one of the most endearing qualities for anyone his age in the age of incessant narcissism and solipsism. So unlike a lot of people that say he's a total douchebag, he takes himself too seriously, Carrie Brownstein, who doesn't pull any punches, I mean, she's a writer for NPR. She is not going to just blow smoke off Danzig's yeah. ass. She's a feminist. She's pretty radical.
But Danzig's the kind of guy who, like, when he knows he's in a situation like this, he's going to be on his best behavior. You know what I mean?
Nah.
But if you're in the, like, in his face taking a picture of him outside some random podunk you fucking nowhere, you know, it could change. This photo is hilarious, though. It's him wearing a button-up silk shirt and shorts with the shirt unbuttoned and his fucking Danzig gut sticking out with a glass of pink sparkling wine and some boots.
Nice. It could also be the like his way to like make up for his bad press by doing the like Danzig's a good guy PR tour.
Well,
you
this
know?
Is the thing. Like, this is how people will see Danzig that don't know Danzig. You know, a lot
exactly.
of people that will see that be like, "Who's that?" You know, and they're like, "Oh, that guy's a great guy. He's hilarious." I do want to see that though. I'm not trying to talk shit, although I don't. I think the amount of bad news towards Danzig's like interpersonal skills outweigh the good news. You know what I mean? Like Kevin, he was really nice to us.
Yeah.
Because we're radio hosts and had like 25 listeners with us. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
He's not going to be like, what the f*** are you doing on my bus? I'm trying to watch The Fly. Rob Halford said he's not going to be retiring anytime soon. He says retirement is not in my vocabulary. So he had back surgery recently, which is obviously a big deal. But regarding that, he said the determination kicks in even stronger when you're faced with those challenges. I've seen him face to face, but like any difficulty with anybody in any walk of life, you just deal with it, don't you? You just get on with it. And honestly, we only think about things like this when friends ask you like. like you, ask these questions. We never really go there with each other. We just have a bunch of guys getting in the van and going to the next gig and playing, and they'll have to drag me off that stage. Retirement isn't in my vocabulary.
That's awesome.
And he just said that he's just hit 30 years of sobriety, too, so...
Congrats.
He's working off a good platform.
Another dude that's still at it and a band that is not going anywhere, Overkill. New Jersey thrash veterans said that they have a new record that's going to be coming out 2016. They're going to be working on it. They were shooting for October of 2016, so that's a year from now. 2014 saw the release of White Devil Armory, and Bobby Blitz Ellsworth said that they're going to be following up only 2 years later.
He goes on to say, this has transcended generation after generation after generation.
I like your Bobby Blitz impression.
It's transcended.
I like Overkill.
This is a
I'm
transcendental experience.
Yeah.
The article. The first thing I saw after I read this article title was, yeah, no. The article title is, In Flames Anders Frieden. I'm not here to please people.
Obviously. Because he's not pleasing many.
He says, I don't have Facebook. I don't read what's going on. I hear what you journalists say because, I mean, I don't find time to watch everything everybody writes. But there will always be a debate. I know. That's how it is. And in a way, it's cool. It's amazing that people care enough. All right, man.
You know, I
mean, stop putting it like
I feel like if you're on, if you're an artist in this day and age, like if your band hasn't been going for at least 30 to 40 years, you should be on social media in some way, shape, or form. Unless you are making X amount of money or selling X amount of CDs, you should be somewhat plugged into what's going on. So you should know what's happening. You should know what your fans are saying about your
Well, the argument about In Flames is the counter argument to the one about Opeth, where we were talking about how, you know, dude from Opeth was like, yeah, I want my, you know, the guy tweeted at him, I want the Opeth back with the old songs, and he was like, yeah, I want my dad back before he died. The argument this time around is, hey, it's not that I want the old In Flames, it's I want you to write a good fucking song.
Or stop.
The new Opeth stuff is good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just different. This is not the same thing.
No.
It's not good for anyone.
It's lazy, shitty songwriting, and it sucks ass.
Audio diarrhea.
I'm not here to please people. I know. I know.
Well, I mean, it's much better to say I'm not here to please people than I'm only here to please high school girls.
I'm just here so I
don't that just
get
sounds
fined.
Really creepy.
Wow.
You know, it can be taken
That's
out of
Ryan's
context.
Motto. So another dude that likes to please high school. No, I'm just kidding. A dude who is here to please everyone.
There it is.
Korn Fieldy. The man behind the album Fieldy's Dreams.
Fieldy's Look at this dreams. Picture they used of him. He looks like a meth addict. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. Yeah, so Korn bassist and Stillwell guitarist Reginald Fieldy Arvizu.
What? His name's Reginald?
Reginald.
Jesus Christ.
Wouldn't you be called Fieldy if that was your name? He was talking about how their new it will be bringing it back to the integrity of Korn. It's everything that you would think that we sound like. They're just doing
integrity.
They're doing a tour that is the 20th anniversary of the Korn self-titled record. Are you ready? That was hard when it came out.
That was hard.
You cannot deny Korn and Korn Life is Peachy were two fucking balls to the wall, rad rap metal, new metal, boom, 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 the bass tone, the note. It was just tuned to That was the tuning they were in?
Well, like,
that was
ask,
the whole record.
Ask anybody that got into metal after like 94, it's going to be, what band got you into metal? Korn, Slipknot, that list of bands. Right, exactly.
Puya.
So it's in there, dude.
In Flames.
It holds its strange spot in the world of metal. I know Tim loves it.
Coal Chamber. Speaking of Tim, as we record this podcast, he is in Arizona watching Primus and Tool. High out of his goddamn mind.
What'd they rent, like a nice vacation house?
Yeah, they
That's
actually,
the way to do it.
They
dude.
Rented the house that Giselle, Tom Brady's wife, she rented out when the Patriots were playing the Super Bowl.
Oh, really? I hope Tim rubs his all over the entire inside of that place. He probably, I hope, he's probably going to hear this after the fact, but I hope he goes, yep, already did it.
If this was Beavis and Butthead and I said Giselle, they would say, huh, you said jizz.
It's Speaking of which, Dave Mustaine says the new Megadeth disc has the, quote, excitement of the Peace Sells album.
Doubt it.
Why does everybody go, hey, remember our best record? Our new record's going to be just like that, I swear to God.
I swear to God, buy it, please, 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 keep us relevant, keep us in the news, please, 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 I'm not balding, please.
It's not going to be the same, because it's not 1992, you've got a completely different lineup.
I'm still here.
A different attitude,
I'm cool.
Dude, this album cover kind of rules.
I'm still cool,
the guys. The first song off of it was pretty good.
Yeah.
What was it called? Fatal Illusion?
Yep, I have high hopes.
Kevin and I are in the same place. Yeah, remember Super Collider?
Pooper Collider.
What happened there? Was that just Dave being like, shut up, Chris Broderick. You play what I tell you to play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go on home. You go play in your
go on home.
Book.
Walk on home, boy.
Okay, so this is from Dave Mustaine. Apparently feels like it's okay to do interviews again. I've had this outlook for a long time that the world's a really good place with some bad people in it. Others might think the opposite, but I think if you were to take a consensus of people, they know the difference between right and wrong. People have manners and morals, but lately there's been a decline in how people treat one another. That's where dystopia comes in, and if people don't start loving each other and helping those in need, then when that becomes more important than power, fame, or money, then I think we're going to be okay. Okay, Peaceful Dave is coming out on this record. Hippie Dave. Whatever, at least it's better than him spouting off about some ignorant political shit. Because this is the season of that. I think he learned that the hard way the last time. When they pulled the leash back on him and Dave Ellefson started doing all the interviews. I just think that whole thing obviously is just a parody of itself.
I think it would have been really hilarious if Dave Ellefson would have showed up for an interview and the interviewer was just like, dude, you guys sent us the wrong Dave. Can I send this one back?
Wrong Dave. Let me get the other Dave, please.
Kind of like, dude, there's tomatoes on this cheese.
Put it back on the hand cart.
The right one.
Wheel him back out of the room, please. Other Dave. I need the non-orange Dave, please. Can I get the brown-haired Dave? All right, it's time for some brutal poetry before we talk to our buddies in Black Breath. And tonight, Kevin's really reaching deep down to the bottom of that poop bucket. Tonight, or today, or whatever time it may be in your world, experience this passage from Gorgasm's Lesbian Stool Orgy off of Bleeding Profusely. Kevin, take it away. Brutal poetry, too hot for radio.
Drip, drip, dripping with defecation. Panties soaking with desire. Excretia gazed on fingertips. Feces shared upon each other's lips. Spread apart with lustful ardor, enticing scent rises sweet and repugnant. Hungry holes ache for sick fulfillment. Hole winks with putrid fetulence. Grinding labia locked together. Nipples roused to swell and harden. Pubes gnashed in wild abandon. Crotches raw from friction. Captured in the throes of pleasure. Is rushing rank secretion. Soft serve snake emerges. Fecal phallus like bathed in blasts of searing ass. Impaled on with giant logs of smeared upon their swollen burning as they're drenched in anal gas directly from the ass from a tortured anus savored on their tongue flavor of their dung stinking rectal birth cuckolds filled with girth whores finger their dirty cores bulging with hemorrhoidal sores smeared upon their gapping with a massive stinking log defecate to please snorting rectal breeze fecal fetish feast with pure disease.
Wow, really took it to the core there. Gorgasm, Lesbian Stool Orgy. You ever think that the guys who write this they, like, take a passage of it or, like, their CD booklet and take it back to, like, their fourth grade English teacher. And they're like, hey, thanks for teaching me
you
how
proud?
To read and write.
You proud? God damn it.
Cool. Well, Gus, and here's Black Breath. Thanks again for listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass number 75?
Yep, 75.
75.
Cool.
Hell yeah.
We'll see you guys again next week.
But
I won't be here, but you guys will. See you later. Bye, Tim. Rub your nuts on that house. We're in studio right now with most of the members of Black Breath. Gentlemen, say hello. Say hello.
Hi.
Hello.
These guys, they have a brand new record out.
Welcome back.
Slaves Beyond Death. They've been doing big things. They were on tour with Ringworm, Goat Whore over the summer, and then Goat Snake.
All the goats.
All true.
Double goat.
Hanging with all the goats.
Sweet.
Did you give anybody the goat on that tour?
Tried to.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's the effort that counts, man. It's the effort that counts.
Right on. Well, so the new record is out, available on Southern Lord Records. You guys been playing some new songs off the record on tour, or you guys been focusing on, like, some older stuff?
Both.
Both?
Those are familiar, so.
Yeah. Well, you know,
that's
it's all
good.
Point. you just stick to the classics, man.
You're right.
Right on. Well, I ran into you at Fred Meyer, and I was like, dude, we gotta have you in the studio.
Oh, don't
this
tell
new
him
record
that.
Slays.
Don't
yeah.
tell him
oh,
that.
Oh, sorry.
They caught you at Fred
I'm
Meyer.
Killing the rock star mystique. You shop at the Fred
Black
Meyer.
Black Breath, don't do Fred Meyer.
Best Freddy's Burgers.
Exactly. So the new record Slays, and you guys are going to be doing a few shows with Havoc. Are you guys going to be playing the Seattle date?
Negative. We're just doing California with Havoc.
Fair enough.
We were going to do the whole West Coast, but we got asked to do the House Core Horror Festival, so we had to kind of...
San Antonio.
Dude.
We had to kind of change our plans a bit, so we weren't able to do the Northwest, so...
The House Core Horror Festival. Did you get asked by Phil himself?
He didn't
hey,
call
brother.
He didn't call me, but, I mean, I'd like to think that he called
I'm
somebody I know.
Came from the top.
I heard about this band.
Phil Anselmo is a fan of Black Breath. You know he jams your band.
We didn't say that.
We definitely didn't say
the
that.
The decree has been said.
We're actually not even playing the fest. That's how much of a fan he is.
Oh, like,
we're just playing the pre-show.
They were fans enough to let us play the pre-show and then watch King Diamond for free the next
day.
Yeah,
they're flying
yes.
us there to do it, so maybe that says something. Other than that, it's up to anyone's imagination.
All right. Let your imaginations go wild with Black Breath.
All right, dudes, we're going to jump into... Let's play the title track off the record here, Slaves Beyond Death. Who came up with the name with this for the record?
That would be Neil McAdams,
Neil
our singer.
Here.
Oh, where is Neil? Yeah.
He's slaving.
He's working right now, man. We all work jobs. Taverns and Hot Mama's Pizza right now.
Booyah. Oh, really? He's cooking the Zaz?
No, he ain't cooking Zaz. He's up at Bait Shop, Seattle.
Oh, okay.
We got everybody on Capitol Hill working tonight, so I just want to give my shout-out. I got off early working in the kitchen to do this.
That rules.
This goes out to all my other friends working in kitchens tonight.
Yeah, crank up Metal Shop while you're working in the kitchens. We know we got a couple of them listening all over the
yeah.
Northwest. So turn up some Black Breath. We'll talking to these guys a little bit more. Slaves Beyond Death, a Metal Shop.
That guitar tone right there.
Yes.
And not a head was left on a bang. And New Black Breath, Slaves Beyond Death here on Metal Shop. We have the band live here in studio. And during the break, we were discussing like a brief piece of your history. You guys are coming up on your 10-year anniversary here.
10 years in November, yes.
And your first show was on Thanksgiving. Where was it? Who'd you play with?
We played to our friend's family and his vegan Thanksgiving dinner that we used to go to.
Okay.
Awesome.
That was our first show.
Back
very metal.
How many people?
12. 10. 13.
Nice. Back when I went up to Western Washington University.
This
up
is
in Bellingham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Western. I used to see you guys play some small bars up there, and it's kind of fitting that you guys are going to be playing a show with Red Fang, who also played a lot of shows up in Bellingham.
That's why this show exists, is because that both of our bands started at almost the exact same time and started playing shows in the Pacific Northwest together at the same time. So to commemorate that, we have our 10-year anniversary at the same time, and we're playing in Bellingham.
December 30th.
At the Shakedown
in Bellingham, yep.
That's going to be worth the drive, man.
Yeah, we're old school buddies.
Yeah, come up.
Yeah, we'll do it, man.
Let's do it. Can you put me on the list?
We got room.
That's cool, man. So congratulations on 10 years of Black Breath. Stay with us because we got more off their new record. These guys are the shiz. It's Metal Shop.
Welcome back to Metal Shop. 99.9 KISW.
During the break just now, Elijah from Black Breath kind of reignited my curiosity with a very strange radio phenomena called the cough button.
Cough, cough.
You down to it? Let's do a science experiment. All right, go ahead.
Okay, let's try this.
Let's see what you got, man.
Shane Company.
It's kind of work. What?
It sounds
work?
Like nothing. No, it doesn't work.
I got nothing.
It's a lie. It's a lie.
Fair enough.
Never rely on the cough button, apparently.
Never rely on it.
Can you guys hear me through the headphones?
I can hear you.
Yeah, you got to talk into your mic, dude.
I can hear you. All right, Elijah.
Mine works.
It's a long day.
Nice.
Black Sorry,
Breath
guys.
In the studio, hanging out. Their new record, Slaves Beyond Death, is killer. We've been playing them ever since we inherited Metal Shop, and that was one of the bands that we said, this band is going to blow up. Keep your head up. I don't know.
Keep your head out your ass.
And that was when your record, Heavy Breathing, came out. But this is now three full lengths deep. And it's awesome, man.
I'm curious to know, like, in the last 10 years, because I know you guys have done some bigger festival stuff. You've probably played with a lot of the musicians you listened to when you were younger coming up. What's one show or, like, one experience that kind of, like, blew your mind or, like, that you never thought would have happened to you?
I mean, there's been a bunch of them, I think. The first time we apparently shared the bill with Metallica.
Whoa.
Wow. You know, stuff like
that's
that happened.
Big deal.
Yeah, of course it is. There's been a number of things leading up to the level that is.
For me, Onslaught opened up for us, technically.
Onslaught is awesome.
In Slovakia.
They weren't really supposed to. We got mashed together on the same bill with them.
Somehow their package
when shows
shut
collide.
Up, and they basically they played before us, and I was like, well, I never thought I'd get to say that Onslaught opened for Black Breath, even though they didn't, and they smoked us. But I'm just that's one the one thing that I'm like, well, that happened. That,
funny side note though, they used the same intro that Nazem used,
the Headliners,
immediately. Oh, I guess two bands after them, they both used the air raid siren intro, you know, unbeknownst to Nazem. So that, yeah, Onslaught started with it, and all the Nazem dudes started scrambling like they had to get on stage.
Whoa, you stole our MP3, bro.
It was pretty good.
That's funny. Right on. Well, you know, obviously you keep going. And what about you, Elijah? What was the big moment for you so far?
Playing with Autopsy, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's left on the bucket list?
I know, really, seriously.
You guys obviously have a lot of opportunities on the way. Who else? Like, you want to, like, have Metallica open up for you? Or, like, what's it going to be?
Maybe do a full tour with
like Halloween?
I think we're going to co-produce a new 3D movie with Metallica. That's the next
Sweet,
step. Yeah.
Dude.
Cool.
Even about bigger nothing,
stage.
Hopefully.
I knew you guys were doing big things.
Just write Enter Sandman 2 for the next Black Breath record.
How about you guys write
Enter
the new Metallica
Sandbox.
Record?
Yeah.
Can you guys write the new Metallica record
and
for
just
them?
Hand it over to them? It
I think we
already
tried to.
Awesome! I'd be into that.
Cool. All right, well, let's get back into the new record. This is the ripper on the record, right?
It's a bit of a ripper. It's not a jammer, so it must be a ripper.
Touche.
Yeah, as long as it jams, it's like... You know.
Righteous. It's Reaping Flesh. It's Black Breath in the studio now.
It's a ripper.
Local rad stuff. It's Metal Shop.
Black Breath are our in-studio guests this week off their new record, Slaves Beyond Death. Gentlemen, I think you guys have created a banger of a record.
A masterpiece.
With a ripper and a couple of jammers.
And some ragers.
Sup.
Yeah.
Anyway, well done. You know, that doesn't happen very often.
Absolutely.
We do what we can.
So Ian was asking you guys what was like the biggest and coolest performance you've ever had. I seen you guys at a variety of different shows, from small bars. I saw you guys at an all-hardcore festival down in California called Sound and Fury. And so, which makes me think, like, you guys have probably played some odd shows probably out
Ooh,
there.
Ooh, absolutely.
What's the most random or strange show that you've seen yourself on stage at?
Which one of the wrestling ring shows do you want
to
talk about?
Yeah, we've played in multiple wrestling rings.
Tell me about that.
Where South Carolina, Kansas City, pick one. We played...
Cincinnati.
Yeah. Cincinnati, I'm sorry. They have the wrestling rings, and then they pack them up, and then they get the wrestlers out, and then the hardcore kids show up, and they set up a show.
Stage dive off the turnbuckles?
We played inside the turnbuckles.
We have played inside them in Cincinnati, but nobody staged up. Yeah. They were mainly looking at us weird.
That's amazing.
You gotta do a backflip off the top run, dude.
Our green room was definitely a gym on more than one occasion.
Too busy pumping to play. Pumping hard.
Pump it.
Pumping iron, bro.
That's awesome.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to DLB, by the way. That's my dad. He's listening.
DLB.
What's up, DLB?
Love you, DLB.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is your chance. You know, give us some shout outs. Where can we find you online? And then mention that show you guys have coming up with Red Fang again.
That would be December 30th in Bellingham at the Shakedown. We also have some other shows. We're going to be playing at Numo's on the
December 17th.
December 17th.
Yeah, with a few local
Seattle
killers.
So that is going to be a good show as well.
Sick. All right, shout-outs?
Can I please thank Gruesome for tearing me up and being such ripping brothers?
Gruesome, proper death metal.
Dude, that record is
savage. You guys heard that, right?
Savage.
You got that here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Blowing good my death mind.
Metal. Absolutely, man.
Cool. Well, gentlemen, thanks again for coming in. Best of luck to you guys, and hopefully we have you in here in the next year
thank
or
you,
so.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much
Don't
for having us.
Don't stay away too long.
Yeah.
So we're going to play one more jam from your guys' new record, Slaves Beyond Death. Where can we get your record online?
Southern Lord Records, any independent record store in your neighborhood, if they still exist. I hope they do.
There's a few. There's a few out there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, here it is. Thanks again, gentlemen. And if you want to stick around, we'll be picking your brains throughout the night.
Thank you so much.
Here's Black Breath, Ark of Violence.
Ark of Violence.
From the Vault is up next. It's Metal Shop on the Rock.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.